you're in the right place to do better. So, all right, well, real quickly, let's just go to the Lord with a quick word of prayer, and we'll pass it over to Pastor Taylor. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for this word that we're about to hear, Father. Father, we know that faith comes by hearing, Lord, and these things that we are about to hear, Lord, we have to have faith. So, Lord, just give us faith, Lord, to truly, truly just believe your word for what it says, Lord, and help us to actually practice what we hear, Father. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we are in the book of Revelation. As you can see, we are going to pick up where we left off last time. And I love the book of Revelation. It's where I really started to study the Bible. And so it's always a thrill and excitement for me to get in and teach the book of Revelation. We left off, I think we finished up verse 5, so we are going to pick up on verse 6. Just so you remember where we're at, we have been to the throne of God, and the seals were opened by the Lamb, and so we've been through most of the seals there, and now we're looking at the trumpets. And so we see the order is seals. You know, there's sevens. There's sevens is, you know, the number of perfections, people say. So you got the seven seals, and you got the seven trumpets, and lastly, it's the seven bowls of God's wrath. And so we're at the middle section. We're talking about the trumpets. And so verse 6. Once I get it to work. All right. And it says, and the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. All right. So these are, we're seeing into heaven. We're peering into heaven, into the future, where John has been given this revelation. It's the revelation, not revelations, plural, but the revelation, singular, of Jesus Christ. It is the book of the Apocalypse, which just means the revealing of Jesus Christ. And so in the book of Revelation, we are seeing God's plan and God's purpose to reveal to us Jesus Christ. And so this is all part of the plan. If we have the bookends, we have the book of Genesis, and then the book of Revelation finishes up the story. It helps us understand the end result of all the stuff that was happening in Genesis. Genesis is called the seedbed of the Bible, where all the seeds are planted. Then we get to the book of Revelation, where we see harvest, literal harvest of the things that happened in the beginning. And so we're going to see, these are, of course, going to be judgments of God. Each of the seven trumpets are judgments of things that are happening because of man's sin, man's rebellion, man's hatred towards God. And so these are going to be some bad things. But they're in our Bible, and they are for us to know. Again, the book of Revelation is that book that tells us you get a blessing just for reading it. And so I want that blessing. And so I've always endeavored to read and study the book of Revelation, and I would encourage you to. And people say, well, I don't know about the book of Revelation. It seems so confusing. And what I tell you, one reason it's confusing to them, and the pastor said it well, is they try to turn everything into a symbol. But we should use the same hermeneutic, the same way of interpreting the Bible as we do any other part of the Bible when we look at the book of Revelation. That is to read it literally where it can be read literally. And so when we read things, like we're going to go through a lot of things tonight, we should try to read them first literal. And if it makes literal sense, then we don't need to seek some other sense, though there can be other applications and symbolic things in addition to the literal. But what unfortunately many people do is they read something in Revelation and just impose, oh, that's got to be a symbol for something, and then they interpret the symbol however they want. Then another guy interprets it his way, and another way, and another way, and another way, and we get 1,000 ways for something that they claim is a symbol, which was never a symbol at all. And that's why we got so much confusion around the book of Revelation, is everybody wants to turn it into symbols when it need not be. And understand, of course, the book of Revelation definitely has symbols in it, quite a few. But the thing is that they're fairly obvious, okay? They're going to be really obvious. Like a seven-headed beast ruling the world is it's a symbol for something. There's no such thing, obviously. So it usually shows itself when it's a symbol. So as we read, we're going to read it just like it says. When it talks about seven angels, I believe it literally means there are seven angels and they had seven trumpets, and we're looking and we're peering into heaven. And when things happen in heaven, we also immediately get a picture of what's happening in the earth. And so the two are in sync. What's happening in the spirit realm, which is another realm, you understand the spirit is an unseen realm. You can't contact it with your natural or observe it with your natural five senses of what you see, hear, taste, smell, and all that. It is a spirit realm. So we're seeing into the spirit, and then we're seeing into the natural. And so they're blowing these trumpets. And so the trumpet typically means, like in the book of Jeremiah, a call for alarm, a call for war. Jeremiah 4:19 says this, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because that thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. So a trumpet is to get our attention. Something drastic, something dire is about to take place, and we need to be paying attention. And so the trumpets, there's seven of them, and they initiate seven calamities, you could say. But the first four seem to be grouped together, and we'll get into what these first four are grouped together and what they describe. Verse 7, it says, first angel, and that was the first trumpet sounded, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood. Okay, this word with, I think it's not the best translation. It actually means mixed in blood. In other words, it implies bloodshed. And so this hail is going to produce bloodshed on the earth. Hail and fire mingled, I'm sorry, not mixed, but mingled with blood. Is that what I said? Mingled with blood, not mixed. And they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. So again, when it says hail falling from heaven, I believe that literally means what it's saying. There's literally something happening from heaven, and people try to turn it to a symbol and come up with all kinds of weird ideas. I don't think that's necessary here. And so what is this talking about? Well, the grouping of the first four trumpets, I believe, are describing an asteroid strike, okay? There's coming an asteroid, and I think it'll become very clear as we continue to read this. There's an asteroid strike that comes. But when an asteroid comes and strikes the earth, it's not just a singular object. It's just not just big rock that just hits the earth. There's actually, because of the gravity of it going through space, there's usually maybe hundreds and thousands of other smaller rock bodies that are coming along with it. Okay, so this could be exactly what it's describing here. Is hail is actually possibly the bodies of all these other rock that's being carried, and so the first thing that strikes is the hail, because of just the angle at which it strikes the earth, the hail might hit first. We actually have what we call meteorites, and these are like literal little pieces of meteor that we see all the time. You know, you ever seen a meteor storm? And it's kind of cool. But most of that, because it's so small, it just burns up in the atmosphere. It gets super hot and just burns up and never hits the earth. But every once in a while, we have some that hit the earth. And so those are the larger ones. And that's what this seems to be describing. There's something, these larger pieces of rock are hitting the earth. And so one possibility is that this is just part of the body, or because of the gravity of the asteroid, it's just part of that that's striking first. Another option that I think we could also consider is, you know, the space agencies of the world are always watching all the asteroids and watching their trajectory and seeing where they're going, and of course finding out, are any of them going to hit the Earth? And so right now they're saying none will, but the Bible says there is one coming. And so the space agencies are, well, I just imagine maybe someday they find this one and see that it's going to come and hit the Earth, and maybe they'll try to do something to stop it. Maybe they'll try to hit it with a nuclear arsenal or something like that, and you know, they have a number of ways that they can mitigate asteroid strikes. And so maybe they'll try to do something, and it breaks the asteroid into pieces, and maybe these pieces are something that hit the Earth first. It's just some possibilities we don't know, but it is certain, 100% certain, I believe, that an asteroid is coming. And so what we see here is hail from this thing hitting the earth. That's similar to what we saw in the book of Exodus, if you remember the 10 plagues of Egypt, right? This is very similar. It's a judgment of God. In Exodus 9:23, Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire ran along the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, so there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. Very grievous, such as was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And so what was the result is a third of the trees was burnt up, and that would make sense if there's an asteroid coming down. It's very hot, very fast, and it would burn up the trees in whatever the impact area, the impact zone is. It would just decimate it for hundreds, maybe thousands of miles, depending on how large it is. And so the trees were burnt up, and then it says all the green grass was burnt up, okay? All the green grass was burnt up. And so I want you to notice the word all the green grass. Does that mean all the grass on planet Earth was burnt up? Well, no. And this is actually important to understand. A single asteroid is not going to burn up all the grass on the entire planet. There's no such thing. Or it wouldn't be an asteroid. It'd have to be the size of like a planet itself. It'd have to be huge to be able to destroy all the grass and the Earth. And so my point is, this teaches us that it seems to be a localized event around the impact zone. When it says all, it doesn't mean all on the whole planet Earth. It seems to be localized. And so when we're seeing these judgments, sometimes we can impose, oh, that's happening everywhere on planet Earth. And we need to just kind of be careful. And this is an example of that. Because we know for certain there's still green grass on the Earth later in the book of Revelation. In fact, the very next chapter, chapter 9, verse 4, it talks about green grass again. And so this couldn't, when it says all, don't assume that it means all on planet Earth. So this judgment, these judgments, the trumpets, seem to be more localized. At least the first four trumpets seem to be localized around a specific region or area. It's not planet-wide destruction. And I think that's just because of the grace and the mercy of God. And so, verse 8 says this. Oh, yeah. Something I noticed was if you, again, there's the seals, and then there's the trumpets, and there's the bowls. And that's just a little thing to take note of, is that there's a pattern that becomes very evident if you study the book of Revelation. And so we have seven trumpets and seven bowls, and the first trumpet seems to also correspond with the first bowl and the environment in which it affects. So it just happens to be that the first trumpet and the first bowl affects the earth, like we just read, trees and so forth, trees and grass. The second trumpet affects, and the second bowl affects the sea. The third trumpet and the third bowl just happens to affect fresh waters. Fourth trumpet, fourth bowl affects the heavens. Fifth trumpet, fifth bowl affects the kingdom of hell. The sixth trumpet and the sixth bowl affects the Euphrates, or has something to do with the Euphrates River. And the seventh trumpet and seventh bowl seems to be centralized around the wrath of God. So it's just an interesting pattern that you can kind of research on your own. I thought it was kind of cool to include here. Now, verse 8, and it says, and the second angel sounded. Now this again, the angel is sounding a trumpet, right? Alarm. Disaster is coming. Judgment is coming. Second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. All right, so we've already seen that what I believe is the hail is kind of the smaller rocky parts of the asteroid, but here is the main body, a main body of the asteroid striking in a different place. So the hail hit the land, burned up the trees and grass, but the main body of this asteroid struck the sea. So it was a great mountain. No need to turn that into some type of, you know, symbol. I just read it exactly like it says. And people have got all kinds of ideas. Well, this means World War I or World War II, or this could be a nuclear device that's going to hit here or there. But pay attention. It says, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Well, there's no advantage to shoot a nuclear device into the sea. And so you just have to kind of think critically when you hear people giving you symbols and the reasons for their symbols and their interpretations of their own symbols. And I just read it just as literally as I can, if I can. And this seems to be a perfect example. Yes, I read this literally. There's a great mountain, and we would simply call it an asteroid. There's a great mountain burning with fire. Of course, when an asteroid hits, it's going to be burning with fire. It's very hot. It's traveling at extremely high speeds through the atmosphere, which will make it look like it's on fire. And it was cast into the sea. So now we have a location of where it's going, all right? So when a large body, like a great mountain burning with fire, is thrown into the sea, what do you think is going to happen? Well, a great deal of destruction, obviously. I looked this up. This is out of Wikipedia. It says, a sufficiently large impact by an asteroid would cause, depending on its impact location, massive tsunamis. Well, I think that's pretty evident, right? Massive tsunamis, multiple firestorms. So what's a firestorm? It's where the land, like the trees, burning on fire. But it's not just any fire. Think of California always has those wildfires. Well, there's fire and there's smoke. And then the wind comes along, the power of the wind, and just makes it so much bigger and so much more powerful for fire. And so these are called fire storms. Sometimes you'll see like vortexes of fire in some of these firestorms. And so just imagine a land just on fire and smoke everywhere, and even the very skies have turned red with fire and vortices of fire everywhere. It's a disastrous thing. So there could be multiple firestorms and an impact winter caused by the sunlight blocking effect of placing large quantities of pulverized rock, dust, and other debris into the stratosphere. And so what's going to happen when it strikes the Earth? It's going to go dark. Wherever it hits, there's going to be debris, there's going to be rocks, there's going to be soot thrown into the atmosphere to make it go dark around that area. And being dark, the sun can't get through, it's going to get cold. In fact, it mentions here what could be called an impact winter. That means the sun is blocked out, like dark, super dark, wherever this debris is in the stratosphere. And so there's no plant life that can grow. No plants means no food, okay? Because the animals eat the food, we eat the animals, and so forth and so on. So this is where they get the concept of impact winter. A winter begins, and it doesn't stop. It's always winter for quite some time, depending on the size and location of the asteroid. So then it says, It were a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Again, this is reminiscent of the 10 plagues in Egypt, right? Again, that's what happened in Egypt, the blood in the water. Exodus 7:17, the Lord said, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord, because I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the waters of the river. So this is again just a recurrence of a judgment of God, but this time it's going to be in a sea, and it's going to kill the life that is in the sea, at least in this particular region. So it says here, and the third part of the creatures, fish or whatever is there, that were in the sea and had life, they died. Well, that makes sense. Again, don't turn this into a symbol. It just makes literal sense so very clearly. It's just an asteroid. It hits the sea, and it kills the stuff in the sea. It just makes perfect sense. And so they died, and third part of the ships were destroyed. Again, that makes sense. Big, huge tsunami. who knows, hundreds of feet tall and rushing at extremely high speed would destroy. Let's say it hits off of the Pacific or Atlantic coast or wherever, Gulf or wherever. It's going to make this huge 100-foot waves, maybe more than one, and they're going to rush to the land at a high speed, and that's going to obliterate any ships at dock, you know. And so it just totally makes sense. And so it says the animals died. A third of the ships were destroyed, apparently a third that were in this particular place or region where it was found. Then let's keep going. Let me talk a little bit about what would happen. So, an asteroid striking the sea would cause both immediate and long-term damage to the ocean and the surrounding areas, including, like I said, tsunamis. It would cause shock waves. A shock wave is a pressure, explosion. I mean, literally, it's the pressure would just kill everything within, 100 to several hundred miles, depending on the size. Just the pressure alone would just, kill everything. I mean, imagine a strong wind. There's going to be wind, but there's going to be pressure that kills, and there's going to be climate effects and obviously ecological disasters. And so the energy, there's going to be a tremendous amount of energy released both in the water or under the water that's going to kill all those fish and wildlife. And so it's going to generate both heat and pressure, and a shockwave would spread both in the water and in the air, killing anything in the area. And I mean immediately. It'll form a crater. Of course, as I said, it'll form tsunamis, and these could be very gigantic and very high speed with devastating force. They would just impact the land, and let's say it hits the Pacific. Well, it would travel to our west coast all the way to China and the islands, and so it would just be devastating. It would impact the climate. What would happen? It would inject water vapor and debris into the atmosphere. And if it's large enough, all the water debris and soot and all these things would go all the way into the stratosphere and destroy or at least harm weather patterns. Okay? It could also disturb things in the ocean, releasing gases like methane. So anything in the immediate area of the impact would just be dead. Almost pretty much instantly. All the marine life in the vicinity of the impact would be killed immediately by the shockwave and the intense heat. And then in other cases, which I think could take place, is it could hit near a tectonic zone. Like, we have the tectonic plates, and the California has these plates, and there's earthquakes all the time in California. Well, there's a place north of California called Cascadia, and there's all these volcanoes. And so imagine a asteroid hitting something like the plates or hitting around volcanoes, and it could cause huge, massive earthquakes. It could cause volcanoes to erupt. So, verse 10, and it says, and a third angel sounded. Is that where we are? Is that here? Yeah. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. Okay? Seems to be saying the same thing in a different language, but what we're seeing is the trumpets are affecting different environments. Okay? A great star. Now, this word star is, the word great is megas, where we use the word mega. Just means really great, really big, right? Megas star. The word star in the Greek is Esther. Okay? But I want to point out that this couldn't literally be a star, because they called not just stars, but they called asteroid stars, because you understand the sun is a star, right? And so the sun hitting the earth wouldn't make sense. Can you see the size of the sun compared to the earth? The earth is the little teeny dot next to Jupiter. Okay, it takes, 109 earths? So it couldn't mean a star, but so we can pretty much infer or almost certainly infer that a star here meant an asteroid because, you know, they look pretty much the same. So it doesn't mean a star is going to hit the Earth. That wouldn't make sense. But an asteroid is going to hit the Earth. So it says here, a great mega star, Aster. And by the way, asteroid is Aster. It's the root word. Aster is the Greek word. So that's where we get the word asteroid. Okay. So a star from heaven, makes sense. It's like reiterating the same story again, but this time it's going to tell us a different environment. Burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers. All right. So now we've already talked about the small particles like hail would hit and destroy the vegetation, the trees, the grass, and so forth. Then the larger body hits the sea. And then this is the third element. It seems that this asteroid may have been more than one piece, which is possible. It could be traveling through space as two large bodies. Or, again, a theory only, it could have been hit by a nuke in broken pieces, and so it created two bodies. But this particular large body, instead of hitting the sea, is going to hit the land. And in this particular case, it's going to harm fresh water. So it says, there fell a great star, Aster, from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And so that simply means it's going to affect fresh water. Okay. And we'll read it here, what's going to happen. So again, this is an asteroid. It's actually, I think, all part of the same event, kind of, but we're just seeing the different environments that this asteroid is going to affect. So verse 11, well, it says, let me go back. There's another possibility, by the way. When an asteroid strikes the Earth, not only is the larger body, let's say, the larger body of the asteroid strikes the Earth, what it does is it hits the Earth at such a high rate, such a high speed, it creates this crater, and it takes all whatever was in that that part of where it hit and blows it away, right? It blows it up and a lot of it up into the sky. It obliterates a lot of it because of the heat and the pressure, but it's going to blow a bunch of stuff up into the sky. And as we already talked about, there's debris and soot that could be thrown into the sky, but there can also be large rock. And it can be thrown so far into the sky that it goes back into the stratosphere, which doesn't sound like a big deal until you realize it has to come back down again. And so what that is called is called ejecta. It's going to blow stuff into the sky, and that stuff comes back down again, and it's like more asteroids popping off at different places. So you can imagine it goes up into the sky, into the stratosphere, hangs out there for a while because it's in space and it's no gravity, and eventually gravity catches it, and it comes back, and boom, 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 all over again. There's more. It's like more asteroid strikes. It's pretty miserable, pretty horrible. But this time, they can be anywhere. So possibly, that's another possibility of what this is referring to. It's called ejecta, going up there and hanging out and coming back again and hitting us again. And so, yeah, it would be horrible. So I just want to throw that out there as a possibility, but we certainly don't know what this is, except it's a big rock coming to hit us. So now let's read verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. All right. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before. It's actually coming out of the Old Testament. It's used quite a bit in the Old Testament. I'll read out of Jeremiah 9:13. The Lord said, and by the way, this is obviously a judgment. You'll see that over here in Jeremiah. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I have set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, after Balaam, which is a false god, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. So wormwood simply means bitter. It means poison, okay? So it's talking about the effect of the asteroid hitting something that makes fresh water undrinkable. and the people that drink it are going to die. So something happens because of this asteroid strike that causes the water system wherever. I think, again, this is regional. It's not planet-wide. But if everybody dies, there's nobody left. So it has to be regional. We know a lot of people will die in the book of Revelation, unfortunately, but not everybody. So wherever it strikes, it'll destroy the water. And so again, my thought is it could strike around a volcanic region because that would explain what happens. Because if you hit near a volcanic area like Cascadia, might not be there, it could be anywhere, but somewhere where there's like some volcanoes, it says, I looked this up, it could release large amounts of sulfur dioxide, which is a toxic volcanic gas, into the air, and this would cause respiratory problems, acid rain, and it would be lethal to humans and animals. And so it would be a terrible smelling stuff. It's an irritating odor. It's like the smell of rotten eggs. And so it's very overwhelming and unpleasant. And it just happens to be the same kind of stuff that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. It was sulfur. We call it brimstone, but it's just basically sulfur. It's smelly, obnoxious, pungent gas. But these were, in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was brimstone rocks. But nonetheless, the point is that this gas is a poison. It'll kill people just from breathing it. It'll affect, this might be the gas, I don't know. But something affects the water system, and the water cannot be drunk without dying. So, like an asteroid strike, it could hit an urban area, not an urban area, but a forested area as well, and that would also create problems by creating carbon monoxide. By hitting the forest, carbon monoxide is also a deadly gas. And so there's all kinds of options of how, you know, this toxic stuff kills people in this area where the impact zone is. Again, when an asteroid strikes, there's going to be soot, there's going to be ash thrown into the air. Soot and ash are simply fine particles from the fire, and that can be inhaled, and that can cause respiratory problems and long-term lung damage. So just some things that it could be, don't know for certain. Verse 12 goes on to say, and the fourth angel sounded. All right, again, this is a trumpet sound. We're looking at heaven. Fourth angel in heaven sounds, and then it synchronizes with something that's going to happen in the earth. And this is what I call the last part of the asteroid that affects the last environment. And so what is this environment? The fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars also. All right. So again, if we're taking it literally, this makes total sense. It seems to imply that the sunlight and the sky is affected somehow by the strike of the asteroid. In other words, one third of the given part of the Earth where this thing happens, it goes dark because of all the stuff blown into the air. This makes sense to me anyway. So again, it could be next to a volcanic area, and that would on its own blow a bunch of stuff into the air, debris, making it dark, like super dark, cave dark. It goes dark, it gets cold, and nothing can grow. And this could be over maybe a large region of the Earth. And so the dust and the debris in the atmosphere will cause the darkening of the skies for days, weeks, months, depending on how big it is. It could even be for years. But I suspect that there's not just an asteroid strike, but there's also the toxic gas from some type of volcanic ejection. And so it'll affect agriculture, it'll affect everything. And so you can imagine an impact. There's this crater, and there's going to be a couple of them really, at least. And all around that area, it's going to be no life. And then as you go farther out, there's going to be total devastation. And then a little farther out, there's going to be less devastation. And so you can just imagine that the farther away from the impact, the better it's going to be for whoever is farther away. So, but those around this area, as it says here, a lot of people are going to die. People drinking of the waters, as we read last time, and then it's going to get dark, which would cause, again, an impact winter, and no food production, which is no fun. So, it would be like a temporary global cooling if all that debris gets into the air. And so it would seem to be saying that this region, one third of the region, maybe of the planet, goes dark. And that's why it seems to say one third of the sun goes dark, the moon goes dark, stars go dark. That's my theory, at least. And again, this goes back to the 10 plagues of Egypt. Remember, one of them, one of the plagues, was darkness on the land of Egypt. But that was like a kind of a supernatural thing. There was darkness all over Egypt, except in one place where the Jews were, where the Jews were kept safe. And so that's in Exodus chapter 10. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward the heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And so this is a judgment of God, both Old Testament and New Testament. In other words, it's coming back again. All right. And then let's keep reading. So there was darkness. Let me read it. And the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars. And it seems to be talking about the light coming from these entities. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. It's actually three woes. How did we only get two over there? There's three woes, okay? And that's important, all right? Three woes, because there's three trumpets left. We're now down to the final trumpets, trumpets 5, 6, 7. So, simply put, trumpet 5 equals woe number 1. Trumpet 6 equals woe number 2. Trumpet 7 equals woe number 3. Now, I don't know why they're saying woe, 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 but it must be bad, right? you tell somebody, woe, 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 something bad's about to happen. And so each one corresponds to a trumpet. And so you thought it was bad before. It gets bad, really bad, now. So again, just to reiterate, the first four, I believe, are grouped together for one asteroid strike. And these are the natural things that we see. What I mean by natural is physically in the earth, we're going to see, not we necessarily, but people are going to see that there's going to be fire and hail that affects the trees, the grass, and burns it up. That's the first trumpet, the first part of the asteroid strike. Then there's going to be a large body that hits the sea and destroys life in the sea, and so forth. Then there's also going to be a second large body that hits the land and destroys and makes toxic the water around that particular region or area. And then the fourth thing that it's going to affect is going to be the skies, right? The heavens, the skies, because of all the debris and soot thrown into the air. And it'll make things dark, it'll make things cold, it will be miserable. And this is for a third part. And so I'm not sure, but it seems to imply this happens on a third part of the earth. And so you don't want to be in this area, all right? But then we switch over, and this is where the book of Revelation becomes a little bit more strange. We start seeing into the spirit and seeing some other things happening, like the demons and what they look like, which is very, very bizarre, okay? And so we'll read some of that. And so the final woes mean things really get bad. I mean, could you imagine just living on Earth just with an asteroid strike? Imagine, you know, maybe someday NASA will make that announcement that we see this thing coming and they try to do something about it, but imagine how people will be freaking out, man. They'll be going paranoid. The markets are going to dive. The people are just going to be pulling all the food off the shelves, and people are losing their minds. Of course, you know, mental health problems, and this would just make it worse. The end of the world, God's wrath has come, and people Some people might get right. In fact, the Bible says they will. Some people will get right. Other people will just harden themselves further. And we'll actually read that later. People will harden themselves more against God. They'll shake their fist to God. Like that's a good option? You're going to get mad at God? I mean, if you're thinking he's doing this, getting mad at God really doesn't solve your problem of being lost, right? But they're going to shake their fist at God. They're not going to repent. They're going to see all kinds of horrible, horrible things happening in the earth, and they're going to actually get more hardened against God, not realizing, hey, this God is both real and bringing judgment, and you have no control over what's happening. They would feel such a sense of helplessness, but still shake their fist at God. That is the illogical delusion that is going to be in the earth today. And we can see it already setting into the earth today. The people that hate God and just are so rebellious against God, this mentality is so clear today. It's not hard to believe that people will be so deluded that they're going to still hate God, even when they see the things of God happening on the earth exactly like the Bible prophesied, proving the Bible is true. I mean, they're going to see this and then look at the Bible and go, that's exactly what the Bible said, but I still hate God. You know, how deluded and foolish can you be? But anyway, all right. So there's these angels, and they're making this announcement. They're flying through heaven, and of course, angels making announcement. The word angel means messenger, and so that's what they do. They're telling mankind something is happening. And so we see them both in Old and New Testament. The angels visited Abraham right before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, right? There was a messenger giving a message there unto Joseph and Mary before Jesus was born. There was a message there for mankind. And there was also an angel that spoke to Zacharias before John the Baptist was born. So angels are messengers, and they are foretelling of powerful events that are about to happen, and that's certainly the case here. They're letting us know, whoa, whoa, whoa. You thought it was bad before? You ain't seen nothing yet. It gets worse. That's the book of Revelation, chapter 9. All right. So now we're going to get into some of these strange things, strange demonic creatures that are going to come out of the bottomless pit. So now it says that there was the fifth angel that sounded. Again, we're talking about trumpets. They're sounding the fifth trumpet, an alarm, sort of like a warning of war. I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Well, it sounds like the same thing again, right? Another star, Aster, falling from the heaven to the earth. But this one is different. This one is, and we'll see it, it's really giving us a glimpse into the spirit realm again, all right? So there was another star falling from heaven to the earth, and to him... That's a personal pronoun, meaning this is a personality. It's not a star this time. To him, this star, so the star is called him. Now, who or what this star is, we don't know. Some people suppose, and might be a good guess, that this is Satan or something. He's a fallen angel, right? Could be some other one. There's lots of angels. There's lots of fallen ones. But nonetheless, it says here, there was given to him the key to the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is a literal place, and notice he's fallen from heaven to earth, so this bottomless pit is in the earth. Again, we can't think naturally, but we're now peering into the spirit realm. We're seeing things that we can't see with our natural eyes. So this is happening possibly or at the exact same time that the asteroid strike is happening, and so we have in the natural, in the visible realm, an asteroid hitting, and in the spiritual realm, an angel falling and opening up a pit in the place called the bottomless pit. All right? This is also one of two times that the key to the bottomless pit is mentioned in the book of Revelation, or in the whole Bible for that matter. Okay? So this one, the key is to open up the pit, which implies that there's something in the pit that is bound there, which happens to be a bunch of demons. And then the next time we see the key opening up the pit is in Revelation 20. It's at the end of the book when everything's kind of finishing up. It says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So we see that key again. This time, this Satan is going to be bound in this bottomless pit. And again, we know it is in the earth, as we can read in this passage right here. Saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And so he had a key. Now, why is he opening this pit? We don't know. The Bible doesn't explain. Who is this angel? We still don't know. We can only suppose. But it is true nonetheless that this pit is going to be opened. Again, angels are spiritual beings. We cannot perceive them with our five senses, their eyes, their ears, or anything like that. They are spiritual. And what is also interesting is this angel is going to open up this pit, a whole bunch of demons by the millions or billions, I don't know, a bunch of them are going to fly out of there. All right? So, that's bad news. It's already bad news. This is the first woe. I mean, we don't know, but there's a whole bunch of demons on the planet Earth now, but then they're going to open it up, and then a bunch more are coming. Woe unto humanity, right? And it's interesting, I don't know why, but there's another place where there's fallen angels bound under the river Euphrates, and they're going to be loosed. And so why are they in these different places? There's some in the bottomless pit, there's some over here in the river Euphrates, and there we don't know any of this stuff, but it is true nonetheless. But I found it interesting when let me get to the next, and I'll read it. Verse 2, and he opened up the bottomless pit. This is a literal place. This is a real place. This is not a symbol. This is a real place, a bottomless pit in the earth. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Okay, so the bottomless pit, you'll actually find it somewhere else in your Bible. This is, if you remember, Jesus in his ministry was running around casting out devils. He was casting devils out of people, right? And in Luke chapter 8, verse 30, it mentions this bottomless pit. Luke 8, 30 and 31, Jesus asked him, the demons that he was speaking with, particularly the head demon, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him, a man. Verse 31, and they besought him, these demons besought Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. That word deep in the Greek is abusos, which is the same word as bottomless pit. All right? So these demons, for whatever reason, didn't want to go out of that man, the legion, didn't want to go out of that man and end up in this horrible place called the bottomless pit, the abusos. So why they're on the earth, I don't know. Why they didn't get thrown to the bottomless pit where a whole bunch of other ones already are, we don't really know. But there's some there, and there's some on the earth, and the ones there are going to leave and populate and get them all over the planet Earth. And really bad, bad stuff happens. And I thought about this, you know, what is bottomless pit? What's a bottomless pit? I mean, if you think about it, on planet Earth, we have this wonderful stuff called gravity that keeps us attached to the planet, lets us walk around and so forth. But there has to be a place, if you go keep going down, down, down into the Earth, where there is no gravity. There has to be, okay? Probably in the center, where the core is. And so that possibly is the place known as the bottomless pit. We do know it is in the Earth. And so there's a place where there is zero gravity, where these creatures are bound with they're like suspended there somewhere in the heart of the earth. And being in the earth, at least in the natural realm, I looked it up. I was like, how hot is it down there in the center of the earth? And so the temperature goes anywhere from about 7,000 to 10,000 degrees. And so that sounds like a miserable place to be bound for any amount of time. The devil will be bound there 1,000 years. Now, I don't know how temperature in the natural affects a spiritual being. I don't know. But nonetheless, it sounds like a horrible place to be. So these guys are anxious to get out. And these demons fly out on the earth, and they're mad. They are really mad. They've been down there for who knows how long, and they can't wait to just destroy as much as they can. But they are limited and what they can do. So let me also explain. If you read your Bible, sometimes you'll hear the word hell being used. There's actually, depending on how you want to categorize it, there's really three particular compartments of hell. We found out in the New Testament that there's actually a good place, at least it used to be, called paradise. You know, Lazarus went there. He went, the Lazarus didn't go there. Was it Lazarus? It was the servant. And so he went to this good place called Abraham's bosom, also known as paradise. And so there used to be, before Jesus came, a good place down in the earth, which was a holding place. And then Jesus came, died on the cross, and he led captivity captive. He set them free from this place, and then they could all go up to heaven and be with him in heaven. But there used to be a compartment called paradise in the earth. And so that was actually a compartment of hell. It used to be good. It's not there anymore because Jesus took everybody out of there, and now they're in heaven because of the blood. Anyway, so there used to be a compartment called paradise, but now there's only the bad stuff. Now the other compartment is just called hell, Hades. You may have heard of it. Hades is Greek. And so, but then there's this really, really bad place called the abyss, the abusos, or the bottomless pit, which seems to be reserved for the worst of the worst, the fallen angels and apparently the demons and so forth. And so there's three compartments of hell that the Bible seems to be talking about. All right, I just want to throw that out there in case you didn't understand the compartments of hell. So it says here in verse 2, and he opened up the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke, right? All right, so, you know, this could be the skies will be darkened with this smoke. And this may mean in the natural air, the earth is already darkened because of the asteroid. We already talked about that, the debris and so forth out of what we read in chapter 8. But spiritually, this seems to be talking about as well that the light is blocked out because these spiritual creatures, there's so many of them that they block out the light because there's so many of them coming out and it looks like smoke. You ever seen like a bunch of locusts or even birds, so many of them that are, they'll block out the light of the sun? Well, that seems to be the case. There's just so many of these evil demons coming out of this horrible place called the bottomless pit. Then verse 3, it says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, all right? And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. All right, so these demon creatures are both like a locust and like a scorpion. Now this word, they were given power. The word power isn't what you think it is. It doesn't mean like strength or might, but it's actually authority. They were given authority to do something. And we'll read it here. So these demon locust creatures, this is where the book of Revelation gets bizarre, but I mean, it shouldn't get all that bizarre. If you've ever seen some of the, you ever seen an ant close up? It looks like a demon. I mean, some of them, they're just evil looking things. Like, right, if you get zooming right into their face, just look it up. Look up a micro photography of an ant. They're very demonic looking things, or spiders, or some of the deep sea creatures. God's made some really bizarre, scary looking things, right? They're here. And so it's not that bizarre to think that there's these things, and we're not going to have time tonight to get into their description, but they got like crowns and teeth and hair and they got the tail of a scorpion and they fly like locusts and so these are some really bizarre looking things. But it's not that unusual if you really think about creation and look closely at what God's already given us. So these things come up out of the earth, and these things might seem strange to the human mind, but they shouldn't be. We know demons are called scorpions over there in Luke chapter 10 again. Jesus himself said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So it is evident that scorpions is a reference to the demonic as well as serpents. Okay. So there's some connection there between scorpions and the demonic, not, you know, the insect scorpion, but that's what they appear like in the spirit realm. So these are spiritual beings, so they could be the unseen. I've always debated, are these going to be seen by mankind, or are they still going to be invisible in the spirit realm? I don't have an answer. I lean a little bit towards the spirit because, in other words, they'll still be unseen because I see no evidence that they're going to suddenly become seen, but they may. I don't know. That would be really scary if they could be seen by mankind. But nonetheless, they will definitely have an effect on earth. They will sting men like a scorpion stings a man, and men will wish they were dead, and they'll have 5 months to do their stinging on planet Earth. And so men will wish they could die, and they can't even die. And I think I'll close with this. Joel, well, do I have time? No, I don't really have time. I'll close with Joel 1. I think those scorpion, demon, locust things are over there in Joel 1. And you can read all of Joel 1 if you want to. I'm just going to read verse 4 through 4 and 6. It says, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust has left has the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm has left has the caterpillar eaten. Now these, you know, experts tell us, these are actually describing different stages of a locust. In other words, from a pupal stage all the way to an adult stage of a locust, these different stages of the growth of a locust. So that's why it talks about, you know, a locust and a cankerworm and a caterpillar and so forth. But verse 6 says this, For a nation is come up upon my land strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the cheek teeth of a great lion. In other words, this, you know, the fangs, the saber, or the main teeth. So that you can read, homework assignment, read Joel chapter 1, and I think that that is related to this army of demons here. And we'll have to stop at verse 3, and next time we'll get into it and describe what they are and what they do and the effect that they have on the earth. So you don't want to miss that. All right, we'll stop there.
Amen. Let's clap our hands for the word of God. We'd like to thank everybody for coming out. We'd like to thank those for joining us online. And we thank you for your support continually into this ministry. Y'all are a blessing to us. And this word is coming forth, and we're just appreciative of everyone here and everyone who visits us via online. There are really no announcements other than that. So we're going to close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being a great God, the great I am. I thank you for being a God that delivered this word of our Savior, the word of revelation, our word for us, a word of truth, a word of just greatness, a word of hope. Because although it seems scary, God, we know we are your people. We know the judgment is not for us, but we pray that you deliver us from all doubt, all fear, every hold the world has on us, God, we pray that we are delivered from it so we could stay focused on your word, that we could stay focused on your truth, and that we will get an understanding, and that we will go out and be great evangelists to the world, and your work, your gospel will prosper and win souls, for people will not have to endure this heartache, this tragedy. They will be gone, God. They will be gone into your great glory. So we pray that we will continue to grow, so we will be a blessing to our neighbor, that we will be a blessing to this dark and just dirty and crazy hectic world. Keep your peace in the hearts of everyone in here, everyone within the sound of my voice. Keep peace in our minds. Give us an understanding every time we open your Bible, God. Give us a hunger and a desire, and just constantly feed us, God. We thank you for Pastor Taylor. Keep blessing him, God. Anoint him, God. Just continue to pour your word into him and to the leaders of this ministry. We thank you for Christ Unveiled, for being a place where we can hear truth. And God, I pray that you protect everyone going home tonight. Give them traveling mercies, God, and just bless them to endure the rest of their week. Bless them to endure the people around them and just continue to be a light. We're around darkness to be a light. So thank you for everything you're doing, and we love you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.